For our second reading this morning, we're going to continue on in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at the 14th verse. Listen to God's word. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told, "It is through Isaac that your descendants shall be named for you." He considered the fact that God is able to raise someone from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked blessings for the future on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions about his burial. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months after his birth because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt unafraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as though he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered judgment, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were not commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Contemporary Christian artist and songwriter Steve Green has been around longer than I at first thought he had. I was thinking about that, and I started listening to his music in the late 70s, so he's been around for a few years. At my ordination service some 32 plus years ago, a friend of ours sang one of his songs titled, "People Need the Lord," and that was true in 1982, and it's still true in 2018. Recently, I was listening to and pondering the words of another one of Steve's songs, and this one is called "May All Who Come Behind Us Find Us Faithful." I think you might see those words in the bulletin this morning. The third stanza of that song goes like this: after all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. So I ask you this morning, what will our children find when we are gone? I wonder, what sort of legacy are we leaving? What if people came to our home today and looked around? What message would they find here? Well, let me tell you what they'd find at our home. If they walked in the living room door, they'd find vases and cups, plates and serving pieces, souvenirs and antique glassware. It's all right there in the living room in a very old china cabinet. And they would have to not be paying any attention at all to miss the fact that we have a son and a daughter-in-law and two grandsons. Their photographs take up a whole wall of our living room, surrounding a chiming clock that reminds us every 15 minutes of Rita's granny. And it would be hard to miss that we have a golden retriever. Her toys and her fur are everywhere. If after Rita and I are gone, someone came into our home, I wonder if they would know that these folks live by faith. Would they know that we love the Lord? Would they know that we honored God's word? Would they know that we were followers of Jesus? Now, you might be thinking this is a strange conversation to have, but all of us reach a time in life when we realize we're not going to live forever. Anybody there with me? That realization struck me during my years of pastoral ministry when I had the privilege of burying people who had lived over 100 years, but also people who had lived over 90 and 80 and 70 and 60 and 50 years. I had the privilege and the honor of burying a 45-year-old mother and wife who died of cancer. I buried a 6-year-old who was struck by lightning. I buried a newborn who lived less than an hour. No one lives forever, and many don't live very long at all. When we die, what is it we'll leave behind? In the words of Steve Green, will those who come behind us find us faithful? Allow me to share another stanza from that song with you. Probably after he had read Hebrews chapter 11, Steve wrote these words: surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Which brings us to our scripture passage this morning, Hebrews chapter 11. I find myself overwhelmed as I read and think about the challenges of living like these great men and women of faith who left behind, as Steve Green says, the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. I grew up knowing these names. I grew up in the Catholic Church, so many of these names that are in here are saints in the Catholic lingo. This chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, tells us over and over and over again what faith is. It defines faith by describing how faith works. Allow me to share with you a few of Paul's descriptions of faith in action. Faith involves the unseen. Faith, Paul says, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The world has taught us to say, seeing is believing. Show me the proof. But God says, believing is seeing. We believe, therefore we see. Paul goes on to tell us that faith wins God's approval. In some churches I've been in, admittedly, not most, if any, Presbyterian churches, when a preacher gets excited, he might say, "Can I get a witness?" And what's the congregation say? No. That's a Presbyterian response. No, the congregation will say, "Amen." You haven't heard that here, have you? Sometimes pastors will even ask the question in a single word. Instead of saying, "Can I get a witness?" they'll make a statement and they'll say, "Amen." And I've often thought, well, that's not a question. But what they're seeking for is for the people to affirm what they just said. When Moses stood up for righteousness, when David slew Goliath, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bend their knee to King Nebuchadnezzar, when Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, when Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, God looked down from heaven and God said, "Amen." God loves it when his people trust him. Paul says that faith explains the universe. Is Joe not here this morning? Good. Good, because I knew what I was going to say and I didn't want to get into a discussion with Joe. Not really. I think we see things the same way. Hebrews 11 verse 3 tells us that the universe was formed at God's command. He designed it. He framed it. He spoke it into existence. Dear ones, there is no disconnect, and I think Joe would agree with me on this, there's no disconnect between science and faith. You don't have to choose one and let go of the other. Science plus faith leads you back to God. Science without faith leaves you in a hopeless quandary with unanswered questions. Faith pleases God. Ever heard of the man named Enoch? Hebrews chapter 11 says that Enoch began to walk with God. We learn from other chapters that he began to walk with God at age 65 when his son Methuselah was born. Any of you guys have a child at 65? Didn't think so. But Enoch responded in a way I've seen many fathers respond. On the birth of their first one, they suddenly get serious. And they realize the heavy weight of responsibility that is now upon them, having birthed their first child. Scripture tells us that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. And one day, Enoch and God had walked so far together that God said to Enoch, "Enoch, why don't you just come home with me?" So Enoch walked beyond time and space. And the scripture says he could not be found because God took him off this earth and into heaven without experiencing death. Another way that faith shows itself is faith saves your family. You've heard of Noah. God commanded Noah to build an ark. Do you realize that when God commanded Noah to build an ark, there had never yet been rain on the face of the earth? That fact is lost. It's in scripture. He had never seen rain. God said, "Noah, I want you to build an ark." And as Bill Cosby used to say in one of the skits doing this, right. Noah must have felt all alone when he was told to build an ark. Yet he did as God commanded, and Moses took the opportunity to preach to a generation that didn't care about his message that God was going to pass judgment. Take heart from Noah's example, dear ones. You can be godly in a very ungodly world, just like today. Paul reminds us that faith steps out and never looks back. That would be Abram. We were talking about Abram this morning in the adult Sunday school lesson. At God's calling, Abram left his home and his extended family, his father, his nation, his land, and began a journey to a place that God would show him. God didn't say, "This is where we're going." He simply said, "Come with me." Living by faith means stepping out for God and leaving the results to him. It's an uncomfortable thing to do, but it's a very rewarding thing to do. Faith believes what it sees in the distance. That's what the ancients were commended for. They were like passengers on an ocean liner who wave when they go past the islands, but don't stop there. Scripture tells us that they lived and they died and they never received all that God had promised. But they never gave up. And God was proud of them because of their faith. He called them his sons and his daughters. Faith even sees beyond the moment of death. Let me read these couple verses for you again. By faith, Isaac invoked blessings for the future on Jacob and Esau. Isaac was on his deathbed. He blessed his sons. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. And by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions about his own burial. He said, "Don't leave my bones in Egypt. Take them with you when you leave to where God is leading you." God wasn't leading there yet. But Joseph saw the future. He saw something beyond the moment of death. Faith separates the church from the world. You know, we have that expression in our country, separation of church and state. It's misused and misunderstood most of the time. But this is real. Moses and the children of Israel experienced one of the mightiest miracles in the Bible when they were fleeing the Egyptian army, and Moses and the Israelites walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. But the waters poured back in on Pharaoh's army that was pursuing them, and they drowned. Faith makes a separation like that in the world, even today. The Lord knows his own. He knows those who truly belong to him. He tells us that there's a great judgment to come. And those who have true faith in Jesus Christ will be taken with the sheep, and those who don't will go with the goats. Faith, dear ones, joins us with a glorious past, even as it walks us toward a glorious future. From Enoch to Rahab, from Jephthah to Sarah, from Daniel to Elijah, from Moses to Hezekiah, from Jeremiah to Esther, all the men and women who lived by faith in ancient times were commended by God. They lacked only one thing. They never received the promise. But we have. We know Jesus Christ, the promised one, the Messiah, the one who was to come, has come. And all these heroes lived and died before the Christ came, and yet they lived by faith. They have the shadow, we have the substance. They had the sacrifices, we have the one who fulfilled all sacrifices. They saw the coming of Christ far off someday. We know him here and now personally. They knew so little, we have the opportunity to know so much. They had a tiny spark of light. We have the light of the world. So if they manage to do things by faith, we have no excuse when we don't. And that's the whole point. On May the 12th, 1807, a man by the name of Robert Morrison boarded a ship in New York Harbor on his way to China, where he would become the first Protestant missionary in that great land. After 113 days at sea, makes me sick to think about it. After 113 days of sea, he arrived on the southern coast of China. 7 years later, he baptized his first convert. He served there as a missionary for 27 years, dying at the age of 52. And it is said that on his voyage to China, another shipmate kind of derisively asked him if he fully expected to convert the nation of China, to which Robert Morrison responded, "No, but I expect God will." When Morrison baptized that first convert, he wrote in his journal, "May this man be the first fruits of a great harvest, one of millions who shall come and be saved by Christ." It took him 7 years to convert one, and he's looking forward to millions. God gave him the faith to see beyond his meager beginnings to a day when a vast multitude of Chinese people would be saved. And guess what? Morrison died without ever seeing his dream come true. And he would be followed by scores of other missionaries, and the gospel spread very slowly in that nation because the people were so suspicious of the white men. And then in 1949, the communists took over that nation, and the story took a strange twist. When the communists came in power, it was estimated there were perhaps 700,000 Christians in China. What would happen to them? Well, they were persecuted. Pastors were imprisoned and executed. Church buildings were destroyed and changed into other uses. But when the curtain began to raise in 1980, many feared that the Christian church in China was gone. It had been destroyed. But what they discovered that was during times of oppression, it grew to 10 million believers. From one in the early 1800s to 10 million in the 1980s. And today, it is estimated that there are over 130 million believers in China. And if that is true, there are more Christians in China than there are members of the Communist Party. Can I get an amen? Amen. You learn quickly. I mention all that historical fact simply to reflect on the faith of Robert Morrison, who one day in 1814, when he baptized the first Christian in China, saw a day when millions would come to faith. That's how faith works. So let me ask you a couple questions, dear ones. Who will be the next hero of faith? Why not you? Who will respond to God's call in their life? Why not you? Who will stand up against the world? Why not you? Who will step out in faith? Why not you? Who will march around the walls at God's command? Why not you? Who will dream big dreams for God? Why not you? Who will lead the way for your family to follow? Why not you? Who will risk opposition from the world? Why not you? Who will become the next Abraham, the next Sarah, the next David, the next Esther? See, the problem is we've known those names for thousands of years and they've grown bigger than life. But David was nobody spectacular. He was a teenage shepherd boy. Esther was a Jewish woman, happened to be beautiful, but she was a Jewish woman. All of them were ordinary people. Why can't we become like them? Who will give up the pleasures of this world for the glory of the cross? Why not you? Have you ever been in the building? Usually it's hospitals, that's where I see them, but I suppose there are in other buildings. In the lobby, there's a thing on the wall that looks like a tree with branches going out every direction. And on the branches are little leaves, and printed on the leaves are the names of the donors who made the building, the lobby, the building, whatever possible. And they commemorate people's gifts in that way. Have you ever noticed there are always some blank leaves? There are always some empty branches. In other words, they're not going to turn you down if you come in and write a check for $1,000 or $100,000 or probably even $20,000. There's always room for more people to be grafted onto that tree. Hebrews chapter 11 is a tree just like that. And it's filled with the names of all the people we know very well, but there's always room for more. And it could continue and say, by faith, Bill. Or by faith, Tom. Or by faith, Megan. Or by faith, Sue. And the list continues. Who will be the next hero of faith? Your name won't show up in this book because this is done. But your name will show up in God's book. And then there's the refrain of that song by Steve Green. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light the way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives that we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, we pray that you'll give us such steady courage to follow you all the days of our lives, whether our days be short or long, whether our years be few or many, so that someday our names might be added to the list of men and women who lived and died by faith. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.